I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City, your Sunday night with Speed City. This is John Massengill sitting in the studio in Austin, joined by my partners in crime, Jonathan Green and Les Kaiser. And we are going to try to get through this show tonight. We've had a quite lively pre-production show trying to get through without laughing. But we have a great show tonight. We have... We have a surprise driver guest on the show tonight. We have a lot of F1 content we're going to talk about, all the launches, etc. We're going to talk about IndyCar, Roman Grosjean, and more. We're going to talk about Ferrari in sports car racing. What? We're going to talk about the Carrera of the Americas that happened out at COTA today, the Porsche Club of America. And we're going to give away some tickets tonight, so you got to stay tuned to figure out what those are. But I'm going to give out the phone number right now, 512-643-5483. Write that down, 512-643-LIVE, because we're going to give away some tickets to an event that we are helping put together. So stay tuned for that. But Jonathan Green and Les Kaiser, how are you, gentlemen? Les, what about you?
Yeah, absolutely. That was, and this is in a good way. Don't cringe too much. The Circuit of the Americas has partnered with some of the local health organizations and everything with the government, and have managed to set up a drive-through vaccination.
That's
depot
awesome.
There in Lot A, Circuit A. I mean, how cool is that? You're going to the Circuit of Americas anyway, which we love. But you
well, hang on a minute. When you say drive-through, does that mean it's like a drive-through penalty where you actually have to keep going at a certain speed?
To a degree, yeah. You go, and to back up a little bit, give you some numbers. They received 3,000 vaccines, and they applied that yesterday. I had to leave the circuit part of the way through the day, and when I came back, cars were lined up starting at I-30, going down 812, turning up all the way up Circuit of the Americas Boulevard, back down, and back into Lot A, where they kind of did the rat maze, into a series of tents. And the process
really cool.
ran great. They had a tent where you show up, you get your registration, you progress up to the next part, you get your vaccination, and then you have your waiting period, because everybody's required to wait 15 minutes after a vaccination for safety protocol. That's nothing new.
And then
you exit. So they exhausted all of those vaccinations yesterday. It was a phenomenal turnout. A lot of dignitaries were there from surrounding counties and the state. Bobby Epstein was there as well. It was great to speak to him, and he just had nothing but great things to say.
Dignitaries. I like that. Like the mayor of Elroy and the mayor of Speed City, dignitaries like that?
Yeah, I was there.
That's a big shot in the arm.
It is. It is.
3,000 people. How did they do that in one day? Did they never slow down and they just used a blowgun to inject everybody or what?
Yeah, they, you know, Marlon Perkins style with the blow dart. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Hey, this could catch on right, when we have flu jabs later down the road.
It was a fantastic orchestrated event, and multiple rows of vaccinations going on at the same time. They were able to do that. Now, if that wasn't good enough, they are looking at getting up to 10,000 vaccinations a day at that single location. So keep an eye out, Circuit of the Americas and your surrounding entities for the vaccinations, the health organizations. 10,000 a day is going to be a huge impact to Central Texas.
That's really cool. Really good. That's a really good story.
It's a lovely story, Les, and you tell it with such enthusiasm.
And you got a patter of applause for it, too.
All right, we're going to get back on, we're going to get back on track here, gentlemen. And we're going to talk about, first of all, you know what, Jonathan? We've been keeping everybody in suspense. Why don't you talk about our guest tonight? He's going to come on here in about 20 minutes.
Well, I'm excited for one thing. She's English, and she is a she. So that's exciting in another way, because this is, I think, the time for diversity. And she is a scholarship diversity winner. She's from England. She is being helped and managed by another English woman who we do know in America, and her name is Pippa Mann. And you'll know Pippa from Indy 500. She hasn't really ever put together a full season of Indy, but she raises the money on her own. She's a phenomenal racing driver in terms of her just sheer tenacity to raise money, to raise awareness, and to be there and show up. She's a great kid, and I say 37, Pippa's a great kid, but I've known her since she was in Formula Renault at 18, and so I know that our guest, Emily Linscott, is going to be in good hands, because she is basically mentoring her and looking after her, but she's going to be in Formula 4, and there's another part to the story, because she's joining the championship, three-time championship-winning Kiwi Motorsport team, whose manager is also a female, Tina Larson. What a great story.
That's very cool. I mean, like you said, it is the time for diversity. But, you know, we've been trying to get the, every female driver that ever raced on the show in these last 8-9 years. So it's not out of the norm for us, because I love it when female drivers get up the ladder and do well. I just think it's been exciting all the way across the board. Every female driver we've had, it's been a fun and interesting story every time.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. It's a great thing we've been watching come up. I mean, I think our first female driver was the was Brianne Korn, winner of the Pikes
yes.
Peak International Hill Climb way back when. And so, yeah, great thread. I'm glad to see more of this being brought to the forefront.
Yeah, she's following in the footsteps of the likes of Chadwick, Jamie Chadwick, and obviously, you know, Catherine Legg here in the States. And I think she's in the right place. I still think that England, my country, is still a bit, I will ask her, but I still think it's a little bit misogyny. It's a little bit male orientated, whereas here in the States, they've totally embraced it to the point of handing out scholarships. So, you know, Lynn St. James has been a big, big proponent of this, as has Pippa Mann. And so, yeah, I'm excited to introduce her, and she's here on our first season, so it's good stuff.
All right, well, before we get into Formula One discussion, I want to also talk about let's touch on Romain Grosjean, because he started his testing in IndyCar. And Jonathan, how much of that did you get to follow?
A little bit. I know he wasn't that fast, but his report was kept it clean, enjoyed it, a good clean test. He didn't set the world on fire, but that's not what you do in a test. I think he's comfortable. I think he likes the environment. And I think I also talked to you earlier in the week about the story about how, interestingly enough, Gene Haas
yeah.
had already planned to follow or at least sponsor him. If he chose to do that, because that was always on the cards. In other words, I think it's now becoming clear that Roman kind of saw the writing on the wall a little bit and was getting a bit like we saw with Magnussen. Not fed up, that's the wrong word, but realizing that he was in an uncompetitive car and wanted a chance to break out of that. And, you know, at 34, I think he's 34, now is the right time to go to Indy.
Well, a couple of observations about this whole story is, number one, the Gene Haas part. Gene said that, I mean, he literally said he was going to sponsor him before the crash, right? But he came back and said that he said, I didn't want to do it anymore. He said, I was open to it, but he said he was just so happy that he came out alive. He said, to quote him, I don't know. He has a wife and three kids. I told him I just couldn't see giving him money to go out and kill himself. I felt like he needed to stay home and take care of his family. He escaped the big one out there, which is really, if you think about it, a team owner coming out and saying that, I mean, it's just a little out of the norm. And this is the industry that they live in. And I don't know. I just thought it was a fascinating part of the story. But, Les, did you see where he also said, not Gene, going back to Grosjean himself, where Grosjean said after the test that he felt really out of shape. And, you know, you'd expect somebody to say that a little bit coming from an F1 car to an Indy car, but how he felt out of shape and how he had to hit the weight machines.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, though, I mean, going back to the relationship between Gene and Grosjean, I'm going to say that that shows that he was valued more beyond a driver. To me, there was a friendly kinship and everything there, genuine kinship. And I think that's why he did such a thing, talking about, okay, I don't want to necessarily sponsor you and put you right back out there right away. So that's where I feel like that came from, was the heart.
Yep. And but I thought it was a whole good story. Jonathan, I cut you off there a second ago.
No, I was just going to say, you know, when we spoke to Roma, I pointedly asked him, was it not your wife who said go racing? Because he, you know, he was sort of up and down a bit, like Gene said. He was not sure whether he was actually going to come back to racing, but his wife said go race. And that was effectively the permission stroke, I think, family decision that he wanted to do that.
Yeah, go race, but let's don't do the super speedways yet.
And that's normal. That's normal. Yep. You know, Jimmy Johnson. I think we should, like I said, I think we have a Jimmy Johnson Grosjean Cup
series. Yeah, a little mini series within a series. Yes, I like that. Let's see. There's one or two more stories I wanted to touch on before we got into the F1 launches that happened this week. But here's an F1 story I want to talk about. Mick Schumacher did his seat fit for Haas F1. And I'll make sure we tweet it out. But there was a great YouTube video that did the whole process, walked through the whole steps of a seat fitting. And it was a really good video. If you just go to YouTube and look up Haas F1, you'll find it. But I thought that was a great seat fit and a nice distraction for the Haas F1 team to tweet about, other than Nikita Mazepin, because I don't know if you're watching what happens on Twitter when they tweet about Mazepin. I mean, it's just this whole disaster that happens right after that. So hopefully that'll calm down a little bit. And then everybody, I understand their frustration, why they're doing that, but man, it's kind of a debacle. Have y'all seen that?
Yeah, it's not going to go away. I mean, if you remember at the time when it happened and I said, he is lucky that it happened in Bahrain at a time where Formula One was not having heavy focus and there were no journalists, etc. I said, can you imagine if that incident had happened at the Australian Grand Prix as the new Haas One F1 driver or even test driver? There would be the likes of Adam Cooper and many other journalists all over that story. So they got away. Haas got away with not having to face the music.
Yeah, it would have been a disaster. Hopefully we have a little time for it to calm down and before the season starts, because honestly, yeah, I know all that. I never condone what he did, but I'm ready to move on to racing and get past it. So, all right, guys, let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to jump into the Formula One launches this week. You're listening to Speed City, and we'll be back after a quick break.
Battle USA is back at Circuit of the Americas March 6th and 7th. It's the ultimate time attack challenge, where top drivers compete for the fastest lap times in fully tuned track-built cars, featuring the GridLife Touring Cup, Lone Star Trap ride-alongs, food trucks, a Just Vibes car show, and more. Plus, the Life Motorsports Nissan GTR is back to defend its time of 207-181. It's a whole weekend of family fun. Tickets are $10 online, $20 at the box office. Find out more at superlapbattleusa.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100+ meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50.
Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We are going to talk Formula One right now. And this week we're going to focus on the AlphaTauri launch this week. And as you know, we've had several launches. We had McLaren, we had Red Bull, Alfa Romeo, and we want to focus on the AlphaTauri AlphaTauri launch. And I think I want to start off with talking about Yuki Tsunoda, because Jonathan, I think I'm as excited about this young man coming into Formula One as I am about most any of the stories for this whole year.
I am too, because I've got a relationship having worked with him at the Toyota Racing Series a couple of years ago. And it's amazing because he went from there. He didn't even, I was actually looking at the results. He actually came fourth in the Toyota Racing Series. He won the Japanese Formula 4 Championship in 2018. And here in 2021, he's on the verge of his first Formula 1 race in a fully fledged team. It's an incredible rise. He's only 20 years of age. He's both a Red Bull Junior and a Honda Power of Dreams, or whatever it's called, the Honda Dream program. So he is backed by all things Japanese and all things Red Bull. So, what a great way to enter Formula One with that kind of backing, because Honda, you know, obviously, even if the powertrain is taken over by Red Bull, he puts himself in a pretty good position with potentially for Christian Horner down the road, doesn't he?
Yes. And I really think that that part of the story, it's like a whole other story you could really get into, you know, because if Honda could have him representing them from Japan, I mean, that would be a really incredible story. I was going to say,
of course, Mick Schumacher, who is our Haas driver, they raced against each other and Tsunoda came third, but got several wins. So it'll be a good sort of side battle to watch in Formula One with Haas against AlphaTauri, because they battle against them, generally speaking. But both drivers are new, both drivers are in their first season, and both raced each other in F2 to top three positions last year. So it's a direct comparison for those two, and Mazepin, who was fifth overall in F2. So yeah, We've got three drivers there. We could actually make a good parallel. Now, we don't know how well the Ferrari engined Haas will go compared to the Honda AlphaTauri, but the Honda AlphaTauri, I would say, is odds on likely to be the better car.
Yep. And Les, I know you love this story too about Tsunoda. I mean, don't you think that this are you as excited about the story as I am about the for the season? I think it's great.
I just love the whole the kind of influx of new names into this. Is the excitement, I think, is what's really going to be a part of this year.
Good point. But we've got an interview. Jonathan, what do you got?
Yeah, no, just to set this up a bit more before we go to the interview, think about this in Japanese terms. It's not since Honda-backed Takuma Sato was in Formula One that we've actually had a bona fide, and I know we've had lots of Japanese in Formula One, Kobayashi and so on, but this guy is really gonna galvanize Japanese interest in Formula One, of which has always been strong, but he is gonna be a mighty, mighty superstar over there.
You know, in his bio on F1.com, it says, in the entire history of Formula One, no Japanese driver has ever won a world championship. Could Yuki be the first? That is a giant leap from someone who's not raced a race, but still fun to think about. That would be very cool to see that happen. But all right, well, let's go ahead.
The one country that deserves a Formula One world champion more than any, I would have said.
No kidding.
Well, Jonathan, I mean, like I said, you've been seeing him come up through TRS. Mm-hmm. What makes him specifically unique? Because obviously, I mean, there's plenty of drivers around Japan, but he's obviously managed to punch through and break the ceiling and get out.
The joke in, or not the joke, but the common conversation amongst journalists in Formula One over the years has been the Japanese don't travel. They're great racing drivers. They've always been good. But culturally, the Japanese, because of their culture, they struggle with coming to Europe. They struggle with, you know, traveling and food and just being in a new country. And therefore, that comes out in their driving too. They're not as fast as they are often in Japan in Super Formula or in Formula 3. And so you see it at the Macau Grand Prix. You see these great big names come from Japan and they disappear. But this one grew up in Europe, worked with Trevor Carlin. We all know him well. His English is good. You know, he's got a British sense of humor almost. He speaks very well. You'll hear him in a moment. And so therefore he's ahead of most of the guys that have tried to do what he's doing, which is succeed in Formula One.
So he has a British
humor succeeded.
He's got a British sense of humor. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that a oxymoron or what?
Don't bloody call me a bloody moron. I've told you.
Called you an ox.
I'll blow the bloody doors off.
All right, we're going to go to the interview that we have. Not us, we didn't interview. This is from Formula One, but let's go ahead and hear from Yuki Tsunoda.
For me, I don't make a goal usually before the season. I just focus on by race, and now I'm focusing for Bahrain test, turn one braking zone. So I don't make goal, but maybe I will say, just like I say, get a point as much as possible. Of course, my target will be like a podium, but yeah, just for me now, push hard and adapt the car as much as possible.
Ha! I do love his humble. You know, it's such a Japanese way to be so humble.
It is, and we found that when he was in the Toyota Racing Series, he was very polite. He was great in, you know, he didn't always understand the questions in the press conferences for the accents and so on, but he was great value, good fun. And also, you just saw a glimpse of him. It's going to be interesting to see how he and Gasly get on. What a great guy to have as your teammate, because Gasly's now purely leading the team, no question, and has been around a little bit, given that he was at Red Bull and now he's back to AlphaTauri, but he's now the team leader. And I don't think that Tsunoda will feel like a threat to him.
Well, yeah, let's hear from Gasly right now. Pierre Gasly.
Last year I watched the races in Formula 2 and I think it was very impressive, especially through the end of the year. So now I think it will be fast. Obviously, he doesn't have much experience. He's been testing over the winter, but still will be quite a few new things for him. So I think the most important is that we get on well, we can work well for the team to develop the car as fast as we can and really push the performance of the whole team forward.
That's pretty cool that they're interviewing Gasly and he's excited about
his
teammate.
Still messing out of it, yeah.
But also think about this. I mean, you talked about it, Jonathan, but if he can move as fast and up the ladder in Formula One, or do I say up the ladder, but in other words, get good in the car as fast as he did in Formula Two, then maybe he could do something this year.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, you asked me what he's like. We didn't really talk about his driving. There was one particular race at Pukekohe in New Zealand where he was fighting for the championship. And he had a problem. He had, I don't know, he was underweight or something in terms of qualification. So he had to start at the back. And I saw him side through in 12 laps and make overtakes that were, I mean, they were Verstappen-like in terms of the risk versus reward. And he pulled every one of them off and finished on the podium, which kept him in contention. And we really saw the true kind of grit of the guy. And I think that's got to be exciting for Formula One. He's got that typical Japanese humbleness, but put that helmet and put that visor down, and he is aggressive as you like. So it's going to be exciting.
You know, doesn't that sound Japanese culture-like, where he's very humble,
exactly,
in person and soft-spoken, but you get him behind the sword or behind the wheel and he is a badass, right? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that just feels like that doesn't surprise me at all. So that's
And the
be...
Japanese work ethic is so strong, you know?
Yeah. Well, we have a couple of other clips from the AlphaTauri team. We got some from Franz Tost. Jonathan, why don't you talk about those a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is, I wouldn't say a big year for AlphaTauri, but they've gone through this sort of transition from Sauber to AlphaTauri to, not from Sauber, excuse me, from basically being the Red Bull Toro Rosso junior team to now being their own. And that's why I think they renamed themselves. You'll see in the launch, they've got a fashion, you know, they're basically pushing their fashion brand. And I think now they've got the right blend with a Japanese racing star and a French established star. So I think they're expecting, and this is where France Tost comes in, big things from 2021, especially as there hasn't been a lot of development. As we all know, I wouldn't say it's stagnant, but there hasn't been a lot of development in Formula One, and there won't be until 2022. So this could be a turning point in terms of being more competitive for them.
All right, well, let's play this interview with Franz Tost from the AlphaTauri team.
We have a new front wing, new barge boards, then the new regulation also demands for a new floor and diffuser, and also the rear wing is a little bit changed.
Yeah, and that's also brings the discussion up. You know, every team gets to use their tokens, right? And that's what they've chosen to use theirs on. So this is really going to be fascinating, too, to think about what every team has chosen. You know, we talked about McLaren last week. They chose their tokens to put a Mercedes engine in. That's probably not a bad use of tokens, but everybody's going to choose differently. And Tost just talking about theirs. And I mean, it's going to be really fun to watch how everybody does this.
Well, and also, how good is that Honda engine? We saw last year that Verstappen was taking the Red Bull to potentially higher and higher heights. And if that sort of gradient continues, Red Bull and AlphaTauri should, I mean, you could argue that AlphaTauri could be knocking on the door of top five, top six.
Jonathan, think about all the amazing things that are happening. We think it was a pandemic year. It's kind of a carryover year for the cars. But there are so many great stories from a Schumacher name back in Formula One to all the things we've been talking about on the show, all the different, the way that the teams are going to be dealing with new drivers and new car components. And it's really crazy. But let's play one more interview from Tost on this time. He's talking about the Red Bull powertrain. So let's see what he says about that.
This is a fantastic step forward from Red Bull. Thank you very much for this, because this will make Red Bull more independent in the future. I think that Red Bull Racing and also Scuderia AlphaTauri will look forward to a very successful future.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important thing. We obviously, you know, when we think about the announcement of Red Bull taking on their own powertrain, i.e. the Honda technology to produce that, but AlphaTauri now have their own engine, effectively.
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it. All right, guys. Well, we have to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to be very excited. We have our guest and very excited to welcome Emily Linscott. So stick with us through the break, and we'll be back after these messages.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell FIA and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, VBox, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Hi, Brendan Hartley. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio. Speed City.
I want a girl with shoes that cut and eyes that burn like cigarettes. I want a girl with the right allocations, who's fast and thorough and sharp as attack. She's playing with her jewelry. She's putting up her hair. She's touring the facility and picking up slack. I want a girl with a short skirt and a long jacket.
All right. We had to let that song play a little bit for our next
guest. Yeah, of course you did.
Jonathan, please introduce our next guest because she has her helmet on. We have no idea who it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stigettes. No, it's not. It's Kiwi Motorsport from Dallas, Texas, and via New Zealand. New driver, and her name, here she comes, is Emily Linscott. There she is. And alongside her is her female team manager, Tina Larson. And why we bring them on both together is that both of them were junior drivers. One is now a junior driver racing for Tina. And Tina herself raced at this level, effectively Formula 4, when she was her age, I think. Is that right, Tina?
That is correct. Yes. 17 and 18 is when I was racing Formula 2000. So just like Emily, I'm so proud to have her on the team with just such a, just reminds me so much of what I did when I was young racing, and to see her in this position, just so great. So great. I'm so proud of her. And I can't wait to be there just to guide her and to just push her to the wins, to the finish line.
How excited are you to have a girl on the team? You've had so much success. You're surrounded by boys. Your dad's in the team. You've had so much success, three American championships in a row. So a fantastic opportunity for Emily as well. But finally, some girl power for you.
Exactly. I've been waiting for this for all that time. So to be able to have this opportunity is amazing. And we also have Pippa Mann teaching and coaching Emily. So with the three of us, I think we'll pretty much be unstoppable. So we're really looking forward to the year just to, you know, just to bring on not only just women in motorsports and doing our thing. It's our passion. It's what we love, and we both get to do it. So, I mean, that's the best thing in life for me. And I get to do it along with Emily here. So it's kind of fun.
Well, you can see you getting on. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, I love it. I have three daughters. I pushed them into everything I could get them into. But Emily, give us a little background. What got your feet wet into motorsports?
So I actually have to thank my dad for that. He took me karting just one weekend, and I absolutely loved it. So I continued to ask him to go, and eventually he took me again. And then I was noticed by someone at a karting academy. And they took me into like a learning school. And once I was good enough, I started racing in their academy, and then it just went up from there. So I started racing at the age of 13, and then here I am now, age 18, starting my F4 championship, hopefully. So yay!
Dad got the credit for getting you to the karting track. Kudos on mom on not poo-pooing the idea.
Yes.
Definitely. Mom's probably biggest supporter.
That's good to know. That's good to know, because usually it's mom's go, no, you're going to the pony club like all the other girls.
Yeah. No, mom's really proud of me, although she struggles to watch the races sometimes, so she kind of puts them with her hands over her eyes.
Sure.
Well, Emily, I am looking at your website, emilylinscott.com, and I was looking at the About page, and I started scrolling through your career and scrolling and scrolling, and I see winner, winner, winner. I mean, it's
chicken
really
dinner, winner.
I mean, it's really a very impressive resume already. It's really incredible. You got to be proud of that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I am very proud of it. Obviously, I couldn't have done it without the people surrounding me. And oh, look, there's my website.
Yeah, and by the way, we were saying before the show, you've done a good job both on your website and promoting yourself. Talk a little bit about that, because that, as you well know, you can be fast in the car, and it is kind of still somewhat unique for women in motorsport. It's a good talking point, but that's not enough in this day and age, is it?
No. It's a big part of the whole career. Obviously, the website is one thing, but promoting yourself on social media is a completely different thing. You're trying to create your own brand. You're trying to create your face, basically. You're trying to get people to know who you are. So the more you do on social media, the more people see you and the more people get interested. So I learned that from a very early age, and pretty much 13, 14, I jumped on social media. I had my dad helping me a little bit, but I was out there doing posts about my karting and all my racing and stuff, and people actually started to get interested. So that's how I've grown my following, and I hope to do that more as I grow and go up the ladder. So,
Emily, I want to ask you something about your driving specifically. What do you think makes you a good driver? Not male, not female. Just what makes you a good driver? Is it your focus? Is it, you know, what specifically makes you a good driver?
I think something that makes me specifically a good driver is honestly my determination. I've hit a lot of barriers already, and it can be hard and it can be almost soul destroying, to be honest. But I've been able to sort of push through the tough times, and thanks to everyone around me as well. They've helped me through the tough times. And I think the more barriers you hit and the tougher things are, the better the racer you're going to become in the future.
Okay, I got a question for you. I just thought of a question I think I want to ask of more young drivers. If you were to look at the Formula One grid, who would you think you'd be more like? Are you more of a Max Verstappen? Are you more of a Valtteri Bottas, a little softer? Are you a Daniel Ricciardo? You're the funniest one in the paddock. Are you Lando Norris? What are you? Who would you compare yourself to?
That's a hard one. I'd like to say I'm kind of a Daniel Ricciardo, a Norris side of things. I like to have a little bit of fun, but I'm also professional, and obviously I know what I need to do, and I know what I need to do to help the team and to help myself. But yeah, as I say, I like to have a little bit of fun. So I'd like to say I'm more of those two.
Well, there's nothing wrong, obviously, with either one of those, because as we know, Daniel Ricciardo can be hilarious in the paddock and joking around, but you listen to his team radio and he is as competitive and aggressive really as anybody. So nothing wrong with that at all.
Nope.
You know, one of the things, Emily, that I'm going to give accolades to you for is we joke and we have fun. And, you know, here on Speed City with my three daughters, Massengale's got a daughter. We're serious about promoting the ladies into sport and giving them equal footing and everything. The thing that has broke my heart is when I see young ladies get into the sport and they rely more on their flirtatious photos and everything to get the attention. Yeah. Thank you for not doing that and just putting your foot down and racing. I really appreciate it. That's where the real skill is. And that's what I want to see. I want my daughters out there showing the real skills in it. So
inspiring.
That's
what I want the values in.
Thank you for the compliment. Obviously people have different ways of promoting themselves. I am just me. What I do online is no different to my life. People see the good and they see the bad. So it's all part of it. And people seem to love what I do. So I'm just going to continue doing it.
And keep up the fun stuff.
Yeah, keep up the fun stuff. We love that. Some of the best guys that have come over and been part of the show on a regular basis, people like Santino Ferrucci, people like Connor Daly, really good fun. And share some of their, you know, fun stuff with us as well, not just racing. Because like you say, it's a brand thing now. Everybody watches the races. This isn't a race show. We don't give you the results. You know the results by now. So we want to know about you, what you're doing, et cetera, et cetera. And I just want to turn to the serious side of this, which is the scholarship and also your relationship with Pippa Mann, a friend of the show and certainly a friend of mine. Funnily enough, to bring it full circle, I used to commentate on the Formula Renault series for BT Sport, I think, it was before BT Sport, probably Sky, actually, when Pippa was racing in Formula Renault. So I remember her when she was 20 or so. So tell me about that connection and tell us about the scholarship.
So my connection with Pippa was pretty much made by me being me and honestly me being a tad annoying.
Gotta be.
Yeah, pretty much. I was very consistent. I continuously liked and commented on her posts until she noticed me, which worked out really well for me. She held a scholarship, the Pippa Mann scholarship, in 2019. And I was lucky enough to be one of the five girls that was chosen to go out in the scholarship. So in 2019, I met Pippa Mann at Laguna Seca, testing the Lucas Oil School of Racing cars. And that was pretty much how our connection started. And it's grown from there. We've both been able to really work well together. And I believe our connection's really going to help us in the future. And it's going to help not only me, but it's going to make younger girls know that they are able to do motorsport. If they want to do motorsport, whatever they want to do, they're able to do that, because hopefully I would have shown that it is possible. And then going on to the F4 side of things, I was extremely lucky and so grateful to be able to get this scholarship with them. It's a diversity scholarship, which I'm really, really happy to see. And I honestly, when I found out about it, I was blown away and honestly speechless, which is very unusual for me.
That's funny. Well, what about being in the USF4 and being in the United States? Talk about that.
Yeah, so obviously I'm super excited about this year. It's gonna be really cool, especially racing with Kiwi Motorsports. And I wanna thank everyone while I have the opportunity, all my sponsors and all my fans, everyone that's been involved, because this year really is gonna hopefully boost my career. And I'd love to get more people on board and join the roller coaster, because it's going to be a great year and it's going to teach me a lot.
Well, what's the dream? What's the ultimate goal in motor racing?
The dream is IndyCar, to be totally honest. I would love to get in that paddock. It's been a dream since I met Pippa. So it's not been a dream for long, but since it's opened up, it's all I've spoken about. So yeah, I'd say IndyCar is definitely the dream, and I think this is a way of getting there, and a great championship to start off with.
I've got it. Lynn St. James, one of the first women to get into Indy. Scott Dixon, the GOAT. Lynn Scott, can't go wrong.
Love it.
Did you just think of that now, Jonathan?
That's right, off the top of my old little noddle, yes. Now, it says on your profile that you like music. So what does Emmy, as she says on her helmet, what does she listen to before she takes on all the boys and all comers?
I don't really have a specific genre of music that I listen to. I just listen to whatever's on Spotify in my liked thing. So whatever I've liked the sound of in that week, I'll listen to that and just... Most of the time it's upbeat just to get me in the mood, and
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Hi, Brendan Hartley. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Ha ha ha! All right. We had to let that song play a little bit for our next
guest. Yeah, of course you did.
Jonathan, please introduce our next guest because she has her helmet on. We have no idea who it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stigettes. No, it's not. It's Kiwi Motorsport from Dallas, Texas, and via New Zealand. New driver, and her name, here she comes, is Emily Linscott. There she is. And alongside her is her female team manager, Tina Larson. And why we bring them on both together is that both of them were junior drivers. One is now a junior driver racing for Tina. And Tina herself raced at this level, effectively Formula 4, when she was her age, I think. Is that right, Tina?
That is correct, yes. 17 and 18 is when I was racing Formula 2000. So just like Emily, it's just, I'm so proud to have her on the team with just such a, just reminds me so much of what I did when I was young racing, and to see her in this position, just so great, so great. I'm so proud of her, and I can't wait to be there just to guide her and to just push her to the wins, to the finish line.
How excited are you to have a girl on the team? You've had so much success. You're surrounded by boys. Your dad's in the team. You know, you've had so much success, three American championships in a row. So a fantastic opportunity for Emily as well. But finally, some girl power for you.
Exactly. Exactly. I've been waiting for this for all that time. So to be able to have this opportunity is amazing. And we also have Pippa Mann teaching and coaching Emily. So with the three of us, I think we'll pretty much be unstoppable. So we're really looking forward to the year just to, you know, just to bring on not only just women in motorsports and doing our thing. It's just our passion. It's what we love, and we both get to do it. So, I mean, that's the best thing in life for me. And I get to do it along with Emily here. So it's kind of fun.
Well, you can see you getting on. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, I love it. I have three daughters. I push them into everything I could get them into. But Emily, give us a little background. What got your feet wet into motorsports?
So I actually have to thank my dad for that. He took me karting just one weekend, and I absolutely loved it. So I continued to ask him to go, and eventually he took me again. And then I was noticed by someone at a karting academy. And they took me into like a learning school. And once I was good enough, I started racing in their academy, and then it just went up from there. So I started racing at the age of 13, and then here I am now, age 18, starting my F4 championship, hopefully. So yay!
You know, okay, dad got the credit for getting you to the karting track. Kudos on mom on not poo-pooing the idea.
Yes.
Definitely. Mom's probably biggest supporter.
That's good to know. That's good to know, because usually it's mom's go, no, you're going to the pony club like all the other girls.
Yeah. No, mom's really proud of me, although she struggles to watch the races sometimes, so she kind of puts them with her hands over her eyes.
Sure.
Well, Emily, I am looking at your website, emilylinscott.com, and I was looking at the About page, and I started scrolling through your career and scrolling, and
scrolling.
I see winner, winner, winner. I mean, it's
chicken
really
dinner, winner.
I mean, it's really a very impressive resume already. It's really incredible. You got to be proud of that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I am very proud of it. Obviously, I couldn't have done it without the people surrounding me. And oh, look, there's my website.
Yeah, and by the way, we were saying before the show, you've done a good job both on your website and promoting yourself. Talk a little bit about that, because that, as you well know, you can be fast in the car, and it is kind of still somewhat unique for women in motorsport. It's a good talking point, but that's not enough in this day and age, is it?
No, it's a big part of the whole career. Obviously, the website is one thing, but promoting yourself on social media is a completely different thing. You're trying to create your own brand. You're trying to create your face, basically. You're trying to get people to know who you are. So the more you do on social media, the more people see you and the more people get interested. So I learned that from a very early age, and pretty much 13, 14, I jumped on social media. I had my dad helping me a little bit, but I was out there doing posts about my karting and all my racing and stuff, and people actually started to get interested. So that's how I've grown my following, and I hope to do that more as I grow and go up the ladder. So,
Emily, I want to ask you something about your driving specifically. What do you think makes you a good driver? Not male, not female. Just what makes you a good driver? Is it your focus? Is it, you know, what specifically makes you a good driver?
I think something that makes me specifically a good driver is honestly my determination. I've hit a lot of barriers already, and it can be hard and it can be almost soul destroying, to be honest. But I've been able to sort of push through the tough times, and thanks to everyone around me as well. They've helped me through the tough times. And I think the more barriers you hit and the tougher things are, the better the racer you're going to become in the future.
Okay, I got a question for you. I just thought of a question I think I want to ask of more young drivers. If you were to look at the Formula One grid, who would you think you'd be more like? Are you more of a Max Verstappen? Are you more of a Valtteri Bottas, a little softer? Are you a Daniel Ricciardo? You're the funniest one in the paddock. Are you Lando Norris? What are you? Who would you compare yourself to?
That's a hard one. I'd like to say I'm kind of a Daniel Ricciardo, a Norris side of things. I like to have a little bit of fun, but I'm also professional, and obviously I know what I need to do, and I know what I need to do to help the team and to help myself. But yeah, as I say, I like to have a little bit of fun. So I'd like to say I'm more of those two.
Well, there's nothing wrong, obviously, with either one of those, because as we know, Daniel Ricciardo can be hilarious in the paddock and joking around, but you listen to his team radio and he is as competitive and aggressive really as anybody. So nothing wrong with that at all.
Nope.
You know, one of the things, Emily, that I'm going to give accolades to you for is we joke and we have fun. And, you know, here on Speed City with my three daughters, Massengale's got a daughter, we're serious about promoting the ladies into sport and giving them equal footing and everything. The thing that has broke my heart is when I see young ladies get into the sport and they rely more on their flirtatious photos and everything to get the attention. Yeah. Thank you for not doing that and just putting your foot down and racing. I really appreciate it. That's where the real skill is. And that's what I want to see. I want my daughters out there showing the real skills in it. So
inspiring.
That's what I want the values in.
Thank you for the compliment. Obviously people have different ways of promoting themselves. I am just me. What I do online is no different to my life. People see the good and they see the bad. So it's all part of it. And people seem to love what I do. So I'm just going to continue doing it.
And keep up the fun stuff.
Yeah, keep up the fun stuff. We love that. Some of the best guys on our that have come over and been part of the show on a regular basis. People like Santino Ferrucci, people like Connor Daly. Really good fun. And share some of their, you know, fun stuff with us as well. Not just racing. Because like you say, it's a brand thing now. Everybody watches the races. This isn't a race show. We don't give you the results. You know the results by now. So we want to know about you, what you're doing, et cetera, et cetera. And I just want to turn to the serious side of this, which is the scholarship. And also your relationship with Pippa Mann, a friend of the show and certainly a friend of mine. Funnily enough, to bring it full circle, I used to commentate on the Formula Renault series for BT Sport, I think, it was before BT Sport, probably Sky, actually, when Pippa was racing in Formula Renault. So I remember her when she was 20 or so. So tell me about that connection and tell us about the scholarship.
So my connection with Pippa was pretty much made by me being me and honestly me being a tad annoying.
Gotta be.
Yeah, pretty much. I was very consistent. I continuously liked and commented on her posts until she noticed me, which worked out really well for me. She held a scholarship, the Pippa Mann scholarship, in 2019. And I was lucky enough to be one of the five girls that was chosen to go out in the scholarship. So in 2019, I met Pippa Mann at Laguna Seca, testing the Lucas Oil School of Racing cars, and that was pretty much how our connection started. And it's grown from there. We've both been able to really work well together, and I believe our connection's really going to help us in the future, and it's going to help not only me, but it's going to make younger girls know that they are able to do motorsport. If they want to do motorsport, whatever they want to do, they're able to do that, because hopefully I would have shown that it is possible. And then going on to the F4 side of things, I was extremely lucky and so, so grateful to be able to get this scholarship with them. It's a diversity scholarship, which I'm really, really happy to see. And I honestly, when I found out about it, I was blown away and honestly speechless, which is very unusual for me.
That's funny. Well, what about being in the USF4 and being in the United States? Talk about that.
So obviously I'm super excited about this year. It's going to be really cool. Especially racing with Kiwi Motorsports. And I want to thank everyone while I have the opportunity, all my sponsors and all my fans, everyone that's been involved, because this year really is going to hopefully boost my career. And I'd love to get more people on board and join the roller coaster, because it's going to be a great year and it's going to teach me a lot.
Well, what's the dream? What's the ultimate goal in motor racing?
The dream is IndyCar, to be totally honest. I would love to get in that paddock. It's been a dream since I met Pippa. So it's not been a dream for long, but since it's opened up, it's all I've spoken about. So yeah, I'd say IndyCar is definitely the dream, and I think this is a way of getting there, and a great championship to start off with.
I've got it. Lynn St. James, one of the first women to get into Indy. Scott Dixon, the GOAT. Lynn Scott, can't go wrong.
Love it.
Did you just think of that now, Jonathan?
That's right, off the top of my old little noddle, yes. Now, it says on your profile that you like music. So what does Emmy, as she says on her helmet, what does she listen to before she takes on all the boys and all comers?
I don't really have a specific genre of music that I listen to. I just listen to whatever's on Spotify and in my liked thing. So whatever I've liked the sound of in that week, I'll listen to that. And just most of the time it's upbeat, just to get me in the mood. And honestly, I don't have a specific genre that I listen to like some drivers. I just listen to whatever I like.
There you go. Boss, she tested today. Can we have a report, please?
Well, where do I begin? No, it was amazing. It was really good. It was quite a challenging day of wet track and then became dry. So
good. That's a good test. Yeah.
That was a great day to test. With the wet track conditions, it was challenging. It's a very greasy track. I mean, you had to really be on top of your driving game, and you did an amazing job today. And then when you went to the dry track, just got better and better. So just kept working with our data engineer, and was just able to just improve every time. So we can't wait to get back there again to just keep adding on top of it.
Hey, boss lady, I have a question for you. How is Emily at giving feedback? Because we talked about social media being part of, being in front of the media as being part of driving, being a driver, but so is giving feedback to engineers and people back about what's going on with the car. How is Emily with that?
Yeah, absolutely. She's great. She's great at that. She's great at giving us feedback. She's also new to her too, because it's wings and slicks. So that's a whole new kettle of fish for you. But just trying, from working with the engineer, you're able to be able to talk appropriately about what's going on. And we watch the video and the data doesn't lie. So if she says something, we're like, yeah, right. So it's quite good. And, if we do some changes just to see if she can feel the changes, that's kind of the trick too. maybe we won't tell her, and then we do a change and see if she comes in. And that's, you know, that's a good test for her to see if she's on the ball. So, I mean, but really great today, especially with those changing conditions. Like, it was fun. I she did a little mowing of the lawn.
Ah, but a grass tracking.
But that's okay, because, you know, you're pushing the limit. So
yeah, that's right.
If you're not on the edge, you're taking too much room up.
And pushing the limits in that wet, because it was a crazy, greasy track today. So
all right, so really, Emily, I know you don't have time for boyfriends, but what about school and all of that? You know, how do you juggle all of that in becoming a race driver?
So I am actually out of school now. I'm still in education, but I have an apprenticeship. Apprenticeship? Is that the word? I think that's the word. sorry, my mind went blank then.
English wasn't a big one for you then.
Love it. Yeah, so I'm in an apprenticeship at the moment, coaching young children. I was lucky enough to get that an awards evening, actually, by networking, to be totally honest. I networked, I gave out my business card, and I got some stuff back, and they offered me a job, which was really awesome. So that's what my education side of things is. And I've been very lucky with my job. It's very flexible. They allow me to come out here and race while still doing my job online. So that's very lucky on my side. But when I was in education, it was tough, but I was one of the lucky ones with the fact my school was very supportive.
That's great.
I had to work hard, and I had to deal with my parents that if the grades dropped, the racing stopped.
I think that's the way almost all education, you know, in high school and is they're realizing every kid is different, and this kid is excelling here. Let's encourage them. Let's help them. So, well, Emily, we are out of time. We're going to make sure and bookmark this. We're going to save this YouTube video. We're going to save this MP3. Because when you hit the grid for the first time in IndyCar, we're going to bring this back up. And Jonathan's holding up a finger. He has one last question, one last comment. Jonathan?
Yes. Thank you, sir.
You need to use the restroom?
That's what we do in England. We put our hands up when we want to ask. Please, sir. But I'm going to be doing the commentary on your races. So first and foremost, you are coming to the commentary booth. And one thing, you'll be the first Kiwi Motorsport driver on time, because you are a woman and organized. So that's good. But give out your social and let us know where we can find you. And let's inspire some younger girls like yourself to go and do what you're doing.
Thank you. I would definitely be coming up to the commentary booth. So I have Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. My Instagram is Emily_Linscott_. My Facebook is Emily_Linscott or Emily Linscott Racing. And my Twitter is Emily_Linscott. And one thing that I want to mention is tomorrow at 7 a.m.
Eastern Central Time.
Central Time. sorry. At 7 a.m. Central Time, I am launching my campaign. So if everyone wants to get involved in that, they can get my newest merchandise and one of helmets and stuff like that. So if you're interested in that, that'd be really cool, and I'd love the support.
Awesome.
I love it.
All right. Well, Emily.
Can we send her a hat, John? Can we send her a hat to add to the pile?
We can. We can do that. We will send you a hat. You can put that on the list.
But,
all right. Emily Linscott, we thank you so much. We wish you the best of luck
Tina
in your
Larson.
Career. Tina Larson, you too. And we will be following your career, Emily, and we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Best of British to you.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Hill Country Region Porsche Club's Distinguished Speaker Series. And we're also going to show an interview that Les Kaiser did out at the track today with the Porsche Club of America. You listen to Speed City. Back after a quick break.
Battle Motorcycle USA is back at Circuit of the Americas March 6th and 7th. It's the Ultimate Time Attack Challenge, where top drivers compete for the fastest lap times in fully tuned, track-built cars. Featuring the GridLife Touring Cup, Lone Star Trap Ride-Alongs, food trucks, a Just Vibes car show, and more. Plus, the Life Motorsports Nissan GTR is back to defend its time of 207-181. It's a whole weekend of family fun. Tickets are $10 online, $20 at the box office. Find out more at SuperLapBattleUSA.com.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi, this is Gene Haas, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, well, we have just a little bit of extra time left, so you're going to have to talk fast, but I want to talk about the Distinguished Speaker Series first and then go to your interview.
Absolutely. Distinguished Speaker Series is a speaker series that we're going to be involved in. We're presenting it in partnership with the Hill Country Region Porsche Club of America, probably one of the most active Porsche Club groups in America, and certainly one of the favorites for the rest of the country because of the Circuit of the Americas right here today. This weekend, we had the Carrera of Americas here. But back to the Distinguished Speaker Series, we call it DSS, this month. March 16th, we have a very special guest. Each one of these will have a special guest that are of interest to motorsports and industry folks. Not always only Porsche-centric, but certainly there's usually an interest. Proud to announce we have Magnus Walker joining us.
A lot of you know
Magnus Walker, and he'll be joining us. And here's the thing that you want to get involved in. We're going to give away two seats in the live recording of that series. And so call into the studio now. We're going to get those.
512-643-5483 to call and get those.
And so you get to be part of the live audience, which ultimately becomes a podcast of its own. But be great.
Man, he disgraced you with the beard, though, there, Les.
I tell you, I'll see what I can do. But it's great. There's Magnus and I in his shop. Was a lot of fun with that visit, but absolutely.
And he's a Porsche man through and through, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's an understatement.
Everything. So stay tuned for that. Hey, speaking of the Carrera of Americas, was a fantastic event out there. Cars from all over the country, as I said, this is one of the favorite places for the Porsche Club of America to come to. Lots of national folks came in. All types of Porsches, new and old here, going on, and we just had an absolute great time. But I had the opportunity to sit down with one of the national pro level instructors for the Porsche Club of America, and it was great to have some time with David Murray and get his take, hear more about him and getting onto the course with the PCA.
So all right, you Speed City fans. Hey, it's been a great weekend out here at the Carrera of Americas. It's one of the events that the National PCA, the Porsche Club of America, is involved in. All kinds of Porsche out here, enthusiasts, and great collection of cars. Now, when this happens, you have folks coming from literally all over the country to drive on a Formula One track in their Porsche. When that happens, you get a lot of great people coming in, and one of those, Dave Murray. Dave Murray has been in just about everything imaginable, but he is one of the national pro-level instructors for the Porsche Club of America, PCA. Dave Murray, welcome to Speed City.
Thanks. Great to be here. You guys have a great program and looking forward to being part of it.
Oh, fantastic. This is a neat weekend. I've been helping out with these, and it keeps getting better. It's smaller this year, but that's okay. But the intensity is amazing. I want to talk about you for a moment. You've sat behind the wheel of just about everything imaginable. Can you give a little history of what folks need to know about you?
I'm an old guy. I've been doing this for 40 years, and I finally kind of stepped aside and let my son drive now. But I've driven for mostly Porsche factory and factory teams, and then a little bit with Lotus, which gave me the opportunity opportunity to drive with Porsche and then a little bit of BMW factory stuff. But I've done everything from stock cars to Formula cars to GT cars, mostly with Porsche and prototypes. And my probably my most memorable day was when Bob Carlson, who was the PR guy for Porsche, let me drive the 91730, the old Sunoco Mark Donohue car, and that was fantastic. I said, how much horsepower? What's the boost at? Oh, 1.2, 1,200 horsepower. I said, how much does it weigh? 1,700 pounds. So you can imagine how fast. It was awesome.
That had to be a handful to manage as well. But, you know, we're seeing quite a variety of cars out here, and one of the things I was, there was a family here earlier, and it was like, how do you get involved in this? So Les wants to come out and get involved, get on the track, get in a car. What's it take to start with at that level?
It is so much easier today. I remember the days when we started, you know, 30 years ago, and there were half as many racetracks, and they were all sitting idle because all it was pro race, and you came out to watch. As time went on, more of these membership tracks and more tracks were just born and built, and I remember when COTA was built. And to see that allowed people to come in and be participants instead of spectators. So they're all busy now because of that. And so it's been fantastic. The one great way of doing it is if you got a street car, doesn't matter what it is, you can drive on the racetrack. And from events like the Porsche Club, which to me is my next, it's a natural progression for me to come in and be a part of that for my history of Porsche. Well, the Porsche Club of America, you can come in, take your car, and obviously most of them are Porsches, but I've seen Corvettes and you can have a rental car basically, and come out and drive in the driver ed, where they'll put an instructor in the right in the seat with you. So you can sit there and drive around, get professional instruction from instructors that do that on a regular basis with your car without costing a fortune. It's like, you know, a couple $100. You come out and drive your car around the racetrack. So how could you say no?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Les, that looks like a blast. We are out of time. We are going to save. We're going to put up that entire interview up on our SoundCloud and our website somewhere so you can check it all out. But we are out of time. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Can I take my Enterprise car then?
Yes, you can.
Next time.
You can do that.
Yeah, okay, good.
Thanks to Emily.
Yes.
Thanks to Emily and Tina for coming on. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And we'll talk to you next Sunday night.
Ciao,
happy trails.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project Moto GP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at motivationusa.com. That's motivationusa.com.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Hi, this is Gene Haas, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, well, we have just a little bit of extra time left, so you're going to have to talk fast, but I want to talk about the Distinguished Speaker Series first and then go to your interview.
Absolutely. Distinguished Speaker Series is a speaker series that we're going to be involved in. We're presenting it in partnership with the Hill Country Region Porsche Club of America, probably one of the most active Porsche Club groups in America, and certainly one of the favorites for the rest of the country because of the Circuit of the Americas right here today. This weekend, we had the Carrera of Americas here. But back to the Distinguished Speaker Series, we call it DSS, this month. March 16th, we have a very special guest. Each one of these will have a special guest that are of interest to motorsports and industry folks, not always only Porsche centric, but certainly there's usually an interest. Proud to announce we have Magnus Walker joining us.
A lot of
you know Magnus Walker, and he'll be joining us. And here's the thing that you want to get involved in. We're going to give away two seats in the live recording of that series. And so call into the studio now. We're going to get those.
512-643-5483 to call and get those.
And so you get to be part of the live audience, which ultimately becomes a podcast of its own. But be great.
Man, he disgraced you with the beard, though, there, Les.
I tell you, I'll see what I can do. But it's great. There's Magnus and I in his shop. Was a lot of fun with that visit. But absolutely.
And he's a Porsche man through and through, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's an understatement.
Everything. So stay tuned for that. Hey, you know, speaking of the Carrera of Americas, was a fantastic event out there. Cars from all over the country. As I said, this is one of the favorite places for the Porsche Club of America to come to. Lots of national folks came in. All types of Porsches, new and old here going on. And we just had an absolute great time. But I had the opportunity to sit down with one of the national pro level instructors for the Porsche Club of America. And it was great to have some time with David Murray and get his take, hear more about him and getting onto the course with the PCA. So
all right,
you
Speed
go.
City fans. Hey, it's been a great weekend out here at the Carrera of Americas. That's one of the events that the National PCA, the Porsche Club of America, is involved in. All kinds of Porsche out here, enthusiasts, and great collection of cars. Now, when this happens, you have folks coming from literally all over the country to drive on a Formula One track in their Porsche. When that happens, you get a lot of great people coming in, and one of those, Dave Murray. Dave Murray has been in just about everything imaginable, but he is one of the national pro-level instructors for the Porsche Club of America, PCA. Dave Murray, welcome to Speed City.
Thanks. Great to be here. You guys have a great program and looking forward to being part of it.
Oh, fantastic. You know, this is a neat weekend. I've been helping out with these, and it keeps getting better. It's smaller this year, but that's okay. But the intensity is amazing. I want to talk about you for a moment. You've sat behind the wheel of just about everything imaginable. Can you give a little history of what folks need to know about you?
I'm an old guy. I've been doing this for 40 years, and I finally kind of stepped aside and let my son drive now. But I've driven for mostly Porsche factory and factory teams, and then a little bit with Lotus, which gave me the opportunity to drive with Porsche, and then a little bit of BMW factory stuff. But I've done everything from stock cars to Formula cars to GT cars, mostly with Porsche and prototypes. And my probably my most memorable day was when Bob Carlson, who was the PR guy for Porsche, let me drive the 91730, the old Snoco Mark Donohue car, and that was fantastic. I said, how much horsepower? What's the boost at? A 1.2, 1,200 horsepower. I said, how much does it weigh? 1,700 pounds. So you can imagine how fast. It was awesome.
That had to be a handful to manage as well. But, you know, we're seeing quite a variety of cars out here. And one of the things, there was a family here earlier, and it was like, how do you get involved in this? So Les wants to come out and get involved, get on the track, get in a car. What's it take to start with at that level?
It is so much easier today. I remember the days when we started, you know, 30 years ago, and there were half as many racetracks, and they were all sitting idle because all it was pro race, and you came out to watch. As time went on, more of these membership tracks and more tracks were just born and built, and I remember when COTA was built, and to see that allowed people to come in and be participants instead of spectators. So they're all busy now because of that, and so it's been fantastic. The one great way of doing it is if you got a street car, doesn't matter what it is, you can drive on the racetrack. And from events like the Porsche Club, which to me is it's a natural progression for me to come in and be a part of that for my history of Porsche. Well, the Porsche Club of America, you can come in, take your car, and obviously most of them are Porsches, but I've seen Corvettes and you can have a rental car basically, and come out and drive in the driver ed, where they'll put an instructor in the right in the seat with you. So you can sit there and drive around, get professional instruction from instructors that do that on a regular basis with your car without costing a fortune. It's like, you know, a couple $100. You come out and drive your car around the racetrack. So how could you say no?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Les, that looks like a blast. We are out of time. We are going to save. We're going to put up that entire interview up on our SoundCloud and our website somewhere so you can check it all out. But we are out of time. Thanks, everybody. for tuning in.
Can I take my Enterprise car then?
Yes, you can.
Next time.
You can do that.
Can. Okay, good.
Thanks to Emily.
Only once, but yes.
Thanks to Emily and Tina for coming on. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next Sunday night.
Ciao,
happy trails.